Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, comment ça va? Bienvenue ici ce soir pour voir le plus étrange, les plus beaux spectacles du monde. Et toi, tu connais ça, hein? Allons voir le mariage. Allons voir. Et la baronne, les deux mariés, et la maîtresse.
Happy Monday.
That was New Moon on Monday.
Hi, Deb.
Hello. The 10th single by the English New Wave band Duran Duran, released on the 23rd of January 1984 in the UK. The group was a leading band in the MTV-driven second British invasion in the US in the 80s. The video age catapulted Duran Duran into the mainstream with an introduction of the 24-hour music channel MTV. In a retrospective, the song was praised by all music journalist Donald A. Guarisco, who wrote, "This music holds an unusual lyric together by welding effervescent verse melodies that bounce high and low to a triumphant-sounding chorus with a rousing feel." Duran Duran has sold over 100 million records, making them one of the world's best-selling music artists. They achieved 30 top 40 singles in the UK, 14 in the top of the UK single chart, and 21 in the US Billboard Hot 100. The band has won numerous awards throughout their career, and they were also awarded with a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Pretty cool. And the reason we went with the Duran Duran song New Moon on Monday is because all the prompts for the poetry tonight is about the moon, or art that has the moon in it. So I'm looking forward to all of that. And I'm shouting out to you from New Jersey, USA, and saying hello to you and all 52 countries listening. Very happy you're out there. And speaking of me in New Jersey, I just wanted to do a quick shout-out to New Wave Auto on Delsea Drive in Vineland, New Jersey. I was out there this afternoon with my son, and I have to say they lived up to their reputation 100%. They're amazing. The team does an awesome job there. So if you're in the market, check out New Wave Auto. And a special shout and thank you to Chris and to Brittany for helping us out this afternoon. You guys rock. And you looked them up, guys. I haven't seen people with so much love coming into their comment page. And like I said, they totally lived up to it. Now, again, this is Deborah Lee in New Jersey, and I am here with my co-host, my big brother, none other than the Mad Hatter. Hey, Hatter.
Hello, unmuted. Muted.
What? And I am also, we are also joined by Mr. Dave Prophet. Hello, David. How are you?
Hi, Deb. Hi, Hatter. I am fine this evening.
Hey, Dave.
You're sounding pretty chipper, sir.
Thank you. So are you guys.
Are you a Duran Duran fan?
Oh, yeah, sort of. I kind of like that one, the one they had about the wolf. Or I don't remember it. Hungry Like the Wolf. Yeah, I like that one a lot. I had an older girlfriend that liked that. Yeah. And so I started listening to it because she liked it so much, and then I found out that I liked it too. So
cool.
Everybody wants to change the world. That's what I feel.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to change the world.
Yeah. Everybody wants to rule the world?
Yeah. Rule the world. Yeah, you're right.
Well,
yeah,
I think
that's it.
That's actually Tears for Fears, but still a great song.
Oh yeah.
But it's
all
good. That's cool because it's like this is a poetry show.
I'm good because I knew the difference between Mr. and Duran Duran. So I thought I was good. Shit, I had it all wrong. Sorry.
That's okay.
Wow.
You know, when you said that, Hatter, it reminded me of 10 years after I'd Love to Change the World. That was one of my favorite songs of all times. You know, Alvin Lee's one of the fantastic guitar player was, I guess. I think he's dead now. I'm
he
not
makes
sure.
The guitar.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure he is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Alvin Lee. Yeah, they're from the Bay Area.
Yeah.
10 years
ago. Yeah, one of the few shredders that was actually melodic in his shredding. And that's always one thing that I've kind of had against the shredders is they spend too much time showing off, and it turns into what I call guitar diarrhea. You know, all you hear is thousands of notes, and there's no melody anymore, you know.
Yeah.
I would Dave for a minute. I have to go into the green room and find out who's on hold. So chat away, guys.
Okay.
Behave yourselves, please.
The other, I know what you're talking about with Alvin Lee. The other guy was the dude that played in they sang Uchiku Park Faces, and he was in Humble Pie with Peter Frampton.
Yeah, yeah.
Fairmont Fairchild. No. Steve something. But anyway, he played hard that way.
Mhm. Yeah. Yeah. It's I don't know. I had a friend that was more of a guitar collector than he was a player, and he decided that he was going to emulate Stevie Ray Vaughan. And so I told him, I said, well, good luck, Carl. And he goes, well, what do you mean? And I says, well, it takes a lot of years of playing and not screwing around to get to the point where you can play like Stevie Ray Vaughan. He thought if he bought
is
a guitar, he thought if he bought
common.
Who's
going to emulate
just jump
Stevie
to Hendrix.
Ray Vaughan?
Just jump to Hendrix. Jesus. Might as well just jump to Hendrix.
I'm back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, might as well. For sure, you know. I mean, why not? Play it left-handed, too, and strung upside down with a left-handed neck on a right-handed body, and, you know.
Yeah, the other one was Robin Trower. I always thought Robin Trower.
Absolutely, yeah. He was one of my favorites. Yeah, he's really good.
Yeah, when he played on Procol Harum. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. I've seen that guy in concert about half a dozen times, and he never disappoints. Never. He's really good. He likes to play small gigs. Yeah, he likes small gigs, you know. He played in Portland quite a bit, but I don't think he's going to be coming anymore because they tore most of the old part of Portland down with all their Mickey Mouse riots and shit.
Yeah, I think he's back home in England. I think he's happy to stay there.
Yeah. Too bad.
Yeah, I remember his 70th birthday party was years ago.
God.
Yeah, then I saw he did a custom guitar video on YouTube. You look up Robert Trower, and I'll tell you, that's the last time I've seen or heard. That's been a while.
You know, I went to a Robin Trower concert one time, and they had the Straubs opening for him, which was really good. And then he was playing in the middle show. And then guess who was playing after him? New Riders of the Purple Sage.
Purple Sage, yeah.
Can you imagine a more screwed up combination? You know, right in the middle, you know, when Trower quit playing, people started getting up out of the theater and walking out. They were playing that. They did that concert in the old Paramount Theater in downtown Portland, which was a way cool place to watch it. And everybody just, when New Riders came out and started doing that whiny country western kind of sounded stuff, and everybody just got up and walked out because they were all stoked
like
on
the Cowboys,
energy.
Green grass and high tides. I saw Robin twice. Once on third day on the green in Oakland. English invasion. And then I saw him on one of his birthdays in the Coliseum in downtown Sacramento.
I was thinking you guys
should back
away from that coffee pot.
No, that's amazing, though, you guys, to see these legends in concert. That's nice to hear.
Oh, yeah. That was Robin Trower concert was one that me and my friend, we had tickets to, and we were outside waiting for a buddy, and he was late. And we saw an open window, so we broke into the Memorial Auditorium in Sacramento. It ended up in this room. It was dark. And, you know, we couldn't turn on any lights. We were scared to death. And we just started heading for the music.
Yeah, there you go.
And it made it wild.
That's cool.
That's cool.
There's that laugh. That little usually means trouble.
I remember standing out there with a lime green jumpsuit. These freaking lights, like he was glowing.
Yeah.
Lime green.
You know, I watched him.
Lime green.
I watched him stand up on the stage of Paramount, and he was doing that Bridge of Sighs, and the tail end of it where he starts in on that kind of a drone and stuff. They put a white spotlight down on him, a real concentrated one, right on his guitar body. He had a white Stratocaster, and he was shining that light around that was reflecting off his guitar, kind of like a search beam. It was really neat. You know, I really got off on that.
We're still talking about his name?
Robert Trower. Yeah.
I was a Procol Harum fan.
That's the other legend, previously. Yeah.
Go ahead.
You were talking about Robert Trower and another guy.
Not Robert, Robin. Robin, like the bird, Robin.
Robin Trower.
Yeah. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Well, we were talking about Stevie Ray Vaughan before that.
And SRV. Thank you.
How about if we say hello to Her Highness from Canada? Hey, Lady A, welcome to the show. Can't get a word in edgewise.
Hello,
how
is everyone this Monday night?
Apparently everybody's awfully chatty.
One thing.
We started out with about to jump into some moon stuff, and we wound up at concerts. So, Hatter, finish your thought for me.
Jesus.
Oh, no. I'm sorry.
I lost. Say the thought. It was about Trower.
Something to do with Robert Trower.
I was going to say Johnny Lang. Listen to Johnny Lang. He's a natural, has that ability to get those to the Trower. If you slow down Stevie Ray Vaughan a little bit, then he's a freaking guy.
Two thumbs up. 20 years ago, he was kid Johnny Lang.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
He was 13 years old when he did Lie to Me. Very good.
That's what my ex-wife did.
All those guys have that Hendrix.
Influence.
Yeah, okay. There you go.
Yep.
Okay, I love you guys. But I'm going to need my show back now.
Okay,
Mom.
Okay, I'm sorry, Deb. Yes, Mom.
That's okay. I'm just looking up and we're almost 20 minutes in and we're still talking about concerts and haven't done any poetry yet. And since we have Sky out there on the board, and I know that she needs to get some sleep so she can get up early and go to work, so I thought I would put her poem up first, and we can listen to her lovely voice recite her poem for us. So
that sounds good.
Tell me when you guys see the poetry link. Yes? Oh, not chatty now.
You talking to me?
Do you see Sky's poem on the board?
Oh. I'm counting Beatles songs.
Yeah,
hold on.
It's up. It's up, Deb.
Okay, cool. Yep. Then click on that and let's read along while we listen to Sky Darkholm.
A prose conversation with Aspen and Univer. All washed over with the ink of lithium. By Sky Darkholm. There's a delusion, an elastic band, restrictive in its exhale. It's raining, but I can't see the tapping on windows. It's the lithium, dancing on branches and stealing buttons, round moon pinholes. And you know, there is no faith. No smile, just dead porcelain daisies, all bunched up and waiting to brown. And there they are, holding it in the fists, finger vines like satellite probes, trying to find a light that said it would be there. An aspen spreading palm and limb. A crown of sirens, bare twigs, and weightless wind. And here I am, small, trying to catch the night and envelope it inside myself. A murder of crows, or all but one dead, thin and gangly, beneath pitch skies and an ivory coin. How did I spend all those pocket wishes? Just chuck them down wells and up into the black. Pearls turn cold. I don't even see them anymore, those stars that connected me to the universe. Those stars. Those wishes. It's the lithium. The cut-down maize field. Me and the great aspen reaching for the moon. End poem.
Wow, that was really awesome.
Silent running. Silent running.
Yeah, and there's something about the repeat of it's the lithium, like at the top.
Mm-hmm.
It's the dancing on the branches and stealing buttons. And towards the end, there's it's the lithium, the cut-down maize fields, me and the great aspen reaching for the moon. But now let's go back to the title, A Crow's Conversation with Aspen and Universe, all washed over with the ink of lithium. I mean, how much is said right there in that powerful title. And I love that it's the thought of this crow, you know. But, okay, now back to the poem. Some of the parts of this, like you would have, where is that? Just dead porcelain daisies all bunched up, waiting to brown. That imagery is, it's sad, dead porcelain daisies. An aspen spreading palm and limb, a crown of sirens, bare twigs, and weightless wind. There's just so, okay, for those who can't see the photo, it looks like this poor tree at the top of a hill with no leaves, and it's reached out and it's cradling the moon in its palm, tree hand, sort of, and I think that she captured it with her metaphors here quite brilliantly. Finger vines like satellite probes trying to find the light. They said it would be there, which indicates, you know, wow. I just think that she's such a clever writer. And then I know sometimes she tells me not, you know, that her voice isn't really trying to sound sad, but in that one she had so much compassion for what was going on in the photo that I could feel her emotion.
Yeah.
In her voice, and I like that. I think it gives the poetry texture. Thank you, Sky. Beautiful poem. And Hatter, what did you think?
Exactly what you had pointed out. Just dead porcelain daisies all bunched up and waiting to brown. There they are holding it. It's just, the picture is like almost a golf tee. I think it's also... But yeah, this went on two of my lists. I'm impressed. It's Sky's not here, is she?
Sky's in the studio, or I'm sorry, on the chat wall right now, and she can hear you. So if you speak, she will hear you and probably reply on the board, because she usually does.
Sky, you got it, you know. She's showing off. Okay, there I said it. Show it on.
Great comment, Hatter. And David, what did you think of Sky's poem?
Oh, wow. I read this earlier, and it just blew me away. Just totally. The first couplet there, it says, there's a delusion, an elastic band, restrictive in its exhale. Kind of reminds me of how the tree would hold onto the moon, you know, in that respect. I guess it wasn't lithium used in some sort of mental treatment for
yes,
something.
Yes,
I'm not sure.
Yes,
I thought
yes,
it was. And anyway, so I kind of like that repeating thing that you two have mentioned in it. It kind of brings it back around and around again, and we're, you know, it sort of reinforces its, you know, its original intent, I suppose. The stanza that really got me, of course, I'm a Raven Crow fan anyhow, so it says, a murder of crows, all but one dead, thin and gangly. That stuck out to me pretty well. This is really I don't really want to call it morose, but it's really dark but it's beautifully written at the same time. So, you know, I don't know how to classify it. I just loved it. I thought it was really worded well, and it reads really, really nice. And I love the way Skye's voice sounds when she reads stuff. So, well done, Skye.
Awesome comment. Thank you, David. And
mm-hmm.
Lady A, would you like to comment for Skye?
Yes, I thought this was a brilliant write. I'm trying to reread it over and over again because there's so much in it that we haven't even digested yet. And I think that, you know, just starting off that there's a delusion, an elastic band, restrictive in its exhales. If you look in, like, I'm just quickly kind of trying to analyze it, but there's this, with the idea of the lithium, reminds me of someone really struggling to see what's real and what's not, first of all, and the darkness of it is a frightening kind of a hallucination. This is my interpretation anyways of how she's seeing the moon in the grips of this acid tree. And you know, it's a little bit frightening. It's very, very brilliantly written, but I see it as a kind of a hallucinogenic sky and trying to figure out I guess I have already said what's real and what's not. I don't even see them anymore, those stars that connected me to the universe, those stars, those wishes. It's the lithium, the cut down maize fields, me and the great aspen reaching for the moon. I thought this was really, like, there's a whole lot more to this poem than just what's being seen, and I appreciate that. I want to take more time to dissect it, but that's what I get out of it. There was, if you look at the picture, and you look, read her words, it's like she's seeing something outside of herself and outside of reality. Could be wrong, but that's my interpretation. I thought it was great.
Awesome comment. Thank you, everyone. And thank you so much, Skye. Beautiful poetry. And I put Becky's poem on the board. If you guys want to click on that, I'm going to read for her. And going to be my honor to do so. And someone shout out when you see the poem and I will read.
It's up.
Awesome. Thank you. Okay. This poem is called I Can't Promise the Moon, But I'll Keep the Light On by Becky Friend. And here we go. My child with thistle brown eyes, a neon smile and that mischievous curl, I'd hand you the world. I'd teach you a surefire rain dance, how to turn tides with just a wave, when to walk the titanium stride of the brave, With compass and torch, I'd show you the light of soaring satellites in the night that scatter amber stardust to guide us. And for you, my son, I'd lasso Luna's bloom to light up your room. But it's a new moon Monday, honey, so I'll leave on the funny nightlight, a red lizard with eyes that glow pearl white. And with the cow, the dish, and the spoon, we'll catch the next waxing moon. And Tom. Aw. That's so sweet. And for those who can't see hers, she's got a photo, and it really does look like the parents holding the moon right there for that child, mm-hmm. and the child could just reach up and touch it. It's a beautiful picture, and the poem that she wrote for it is incredible, and the tenderness of the parental love and the thought of being able to just plop that moon right in the bedroom as a nightlight for the child if that's what they wanted. It is one of the many, many reasons that we love Ms. Becky Friend, because her heart's as big as that moon in that photo. And it's always my pleasure to read for her when she can't call and read. So Ms. Becky Friend, my wonderful, dear-hearted friend, we miss you very much, and I hope you can call soon, but I very much appreciate the gorgeous poem that you sent. Hatter, you got some comment for Ms. Becky over there on this beauty?
Yeah, Ms. Becky Friend, this is why we miss you. This is so good. Right off the bat, I think it started at the beginning of it. My child with thistle-brown eyes, the unsmile of the tedious curl, I hand you to the world. And then from then on, it just told this story, and it filled that. And it fit that picture. Yeah, check this out, son. You know, it reminds me when I was a kid, my younger brother they had a play or something, and they had these huge props, and one of them was the moon, and somehow and I got it. It was about 4 feet in diameter, maybe. It was just like that, man. Yeah,
that's cool.
It was cool. It was always on my wall.
Awesome comment. And Lady A?
I'm so glad that that Becky wrote for this, and it's so good to hear from her and her beautiful poetry. I love the beauty of this mother teaching her child about the world, and she gives the world to him, and all that entails, how to turn tides with just a wave, like it's, you know, what the moon does, changing tides, and the light, and soaring satellites of the night, and scatter amber stardust to guide us. It's really a very calming effect, too, and I'd lasso Luna's bloom to light up your room. It's just really gorgeous, and so I'll leave you that funny nightlight, a red lizard with eyes that glow pearl white. It's very creative and whimsical too at the same time. Fairy tale-ish, nursery rhyme, but yet there's something to learn from it in those first few verses. And I thought it was a really great interpretation of the picture. Very lovely.
Awesome comment. Thank you. And how about if we get a comment from Lars this time?
I thought this was beautiful, but overall I thought it was maybe about clinical depression, like a hopelessness I felt kind of overall through it. I don't want to get into the minutia, but it was a beautiful poem.
Thank you so much, Lars. Okay, and again, I'm sorry? And again, I want to say it was an honor to read for you, Beck, and we miss you very much. And I'm going to grab Hunter's poem so that he can read for us next. Did you put it on the board, Hatter?
Unmuted. I could.
Well, you can put it right on the chat wall then, because I don't see it on the.
Here, I think I can. Come on. Oh, you know what? I loaded the queue. Hold on. I got no signal here. Yeah, I didn't put it in the thing. Shame on me. Okay, I got it. Nothing good to hear from Becky.
Mm-hmm.
It was really awesome to hear from her. Okay, I have it. And,
to
oh,
you.
Okay.
Good. I got it to you.
So, go ahead and read that for us, please.
Okay.
Mr. Hatter.
Okay. Washing the face of the moon. I know the guy that gets way too high to wash the face of the moon. He swears he does it because he loves it. He thinks it's a big balloon. He sees the sin when it begins. His eyes are bleeding, too. With nothing to gain, he washes the shame off the face of the moon. I know a guy that turns the wheels that lowers the sun into the sea. I watched him turn in time to hear he looks just like me. I knew the guy that tried to fly knowing he had no wings. He calmly said to his head, and it's not a thing. Am I the one that just for fun, the names, the world around me, please understand with pen in hand, I'm only half done.
Ooh, I like the ending.
Yeah, me too.
I know, and from the beginning, I know the guy that gets way too high to wash the face of the moon. He swears he does because he loves it. He thinks it's a big balloon. I think there's a whimsiness there that I really like, Hatter. And I watched him turn in time to hear it looks just like me. Is that you up there, Hatter? Better watch climbing that ladder.
Yeah, well, you better watch climbing that ladder,
just saying. But no, this is really cool. And the other one is as soon as you pick up the rhythm and the flow and the lyrical rhyme to it, we know that it's Hatter's poetry. It's like your trademark is that rhyme and brilliance. And speaking of brilliance, looks to me like Sweet E has entered the studio. So let her in. Hello, beautiful. Welcome to the show. Hi, sweet. You're kind of echoing or something. You're hard to hear. Sweet.
Oh, is that any better?
Is it just me or can you guys hear her?
I can't.
No, there's
can anyone
there.
Hear?
That's better.
Anybody hear me
I
yet?
You're better
That's
there.
Better.
A little better,
better
yeah.
Better?
Yes.
Yeah.
Better, better.
Yeah.
You know what? It's better,
better.
Mm-hmm.
Better,
okay, better. Better, better.
And I don't know, did you get to hear Hatter's poem?
I did hear Hatter's poem, and oh, my God. The idea was in here that made me go, what? And then make me giggle. So. I love, like, I know a guy that turns the wheels that lower the sun into the sea. I love that. I knew the guy that tried to fly, knowing he had no wings. All right. And calmly said, it's in his head, and it's not a thing. Like, little boy trying to fly off the roof because he's Superman. And then I'm the one that just for fun and names the world around me. Please understand, with the pen in hand, I'm only half done. Please name the world around you, Hatter, because your names are fabulous, and I swimming, they make me go, what? And then they make me giggle. I just really, really enjoy that.
Thank you.
Well, I was going to say, I like the first three lines in there because I know a guy that gets way too high, and he would try to wash the face of the moon. He swears he does it because he loves it. He thinks it's a big balloon. This is great. This is really cool. Makes you feel good when you read it. Makes you laugh a little bit. He sees the sin when it begins. His eyes are bleeding too. With nothing to gain, he washes the shame off the face of the moon. I don't know how the moon would be ashamed of anything, but it's a really cool story and a great storyline to it. It's fanciful and it's funny, and it's just fun. It's just plain fun. We need more of that in the world today, and it has the signature rhyme and meter that Hatter is famous for, and of course it's still a storytelling too. So well done, my friend.
Oh, thank you, Dave.
You're welcome.
Awesome comment, and I know that the queen over there needs to comment for her liege.
Yes. Well, I really like this, Hatter, and I agree with what Dave said too with the rhyme and cadence of it. It's classic Hatterism, and I love your stuff. You know that. I say that every time. I hope you don't get tired of it because you have this great simplicity, yet are able to convey such powerful messages. And even in this one here, it's fun, it's interesting, it's lyrical, and I really liked it. Great.
Thank you, Lady. Thank you.
You're welcome.
It was fun to write. I like those moon pictures.
Very whimsical.
And Lars, will you comment for Hatter and then read yours, please?
Yes, gladly. Jay Hatter, look, I don't know you, but you're a relatively famous. This poem here kind of endears me to you. You could have ended it halfway through. I like the line, I know the guy that turns the wheels that lowers the sun into the sea. For me, that sums up your whole poem. But then you kept ending it, so very nice. I get your weird perspective.
Thank you.
Great comment,
yeah,
everyone.
I was about to
and
type
Lars,
up the same comment,
Jay
Hatter. That was wonderful. Okay,
cool.
Did I
Thank
get
you.
It properly on the board?
I moved it back
Sorry.
Down for you. Yeah, the board was moving, so I moved it back down for you. Everyone should see it.
Okay,
and
John Walker, USA Top Trader. Now for something completely different. I'm sorry this is not in the prompt or whatever, but something to think about. And it's no call to action, just a sad chapter. John Walker, USA Top Trader. They knew that we knew. We knew that they knew that we knew that too. 'Twas the hair trigger cold war after all, confused. No spy came willingly out from the cold. John Walker, the scumbag traitor, knew. Walking off the Navy ship with his top-secret dirty suitcase, the government from the 60s to the 1980s was clueless and incompetent, while the KGB built a whole new building wing to decipher the million message place. If there had been a war back then, the Soviets would have won. Ivan was proven to have been reading all the USA fleet's 1970s emails, every communication in clear text, thanks to Walker's simple greed. John Walker the Snake corrupted his best friend Jerry and his stupid son and his pregnant army daughter. If not for his neglected drunken wife's hatred, she'd have stayed silent had she known her own dear baby traitor son faced prison. John Walker was not at all, in the 1960s, political. This human rat was purely about his illegal financials. one day in the 1960s, he just walked into the USSR embassy and asked, "What will you pay me to betray my country?" End poem.
Well, my, my. Sensing a little bit of attitude. Yeah, like good attitude, not bad. I like how you were mentioning the Navy all through it. And whilst the KGB built a whole new building wing to decipher the million message pace, the million message pace, I like that expression. And the part John Walker the Snake corrupted his best friend Jerry and his stupid son and his pregnant army daughter, I was like, whoa, sounds like a little bit of frustration and anger in there. I thought this was cool. And I like in your author's notes where it says, "Go Navy, I joined a year after the security reform spurred the Walter Wentworth spy scandal. Death to all traitors," at least that's how I feel. I think that there's a mixture of your pride for the Navy and the anger and frustration and towards, you know, the situation. And I think that you really expressed it quite well here. And before I get you another comment, we have
Thank
a caller from Australia. Might that be you, AP?
Hi.
Welcome to
you.
The show. Glad you're here. And Hatter, will you comment for Lars?
Yeah, you know, I understand the whole thing. John Walker did more damage than the gold, the green bombs, or whoever they were that got hung for treason. Yeah, well said. You didn't say anything untrue. Very good.
It has been taken care of. Thank you for your comment. You know, but yeah, I joined right after and hung over my head for 6 years, and I was in top secret communications. So, and every Navy instructor said, "This is because of John Walker." So,
yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And Dave?
I really like this. I wasn't aware of this John Walker individual. I was aware of another spy named Klaus Fuchs, and he blabbered on and on. I think the people that Hatter spoke of were involved with this Klaus Fuchs character. They found several people that were involved in that scandal, and
yep.
You know, it kind of makes me wonder what, you know, what kind of a person would give away, you know, betray his country for some money. You know, it's just, that's beyond me. You know, it really is. And I spent 3 years in the service. I got all the way up to a top secret clearance because of the work I was doing on missile guidance systems and stuff. And I used to worry about somebody whacking me over the head and feeding me a bunch of truth serum and then asking me questions about it.
Yep.
That never happened.
You got my point
exactly.
I guess
I didn't look important enough to do that. But anyway, I like this. I thought it was a good poem, and thank you.
Thank you.
Awesome comment. And let me get one more comment from Sweet.
Well, I love a poem where you learn something and you have the ability.
Oh.
Sweet,
oh.
We lost you, hon.
That was a short comment.
No, we lost the sound on her phone for a moment.
Mm-hmm.
Sweet?
Mm-mm.
We can't hear you any longer, dear heart. Sweet.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if that noise is her. Sweet, maybe you can dial. There you. Maybe you could dial
back.
Can you
hear me now?
There you are.
Yes.
There you are. Yes,
yes,
I can hear you now.
I said I love a poem that I can be educated on, and it has the ability to show U.S. pride. And I said, go Navy. I really enjoy that kind of stuff.
Great comment.
Thank you. Go Navy.
Go Navy.
Go Navy indeed. Thank you so much, Lars. And Sweet, before you read, will you tell us about the amazing celebration that you're having Thursday, please?
Yes. Thursday is all about the heart. It has been 1 year since my open heart surgery, placement of my valve with a cow. And so I have several definitions of what the heart is, from its anatomy to wearing your heart on your sleeve, hearts of gold, emotional part of your heart. So please pick one of those many definitions and write a poem and come celebrate your heart's journey and my heart's journey over the last year. My time slot is 10 to midnight. I've been trying to do it earlier, but it just interferes with feeding dogs and family and all that. So I will probably be moving my time slot back to 10 to midnight.
Uh-huh.
So,
sounds like a plan.
Yes. Yes, it
does. And I can't believe it's been a year. I'm looking forward to your celebration.
Me
now,
too.
In the meantime, why don't you dazzle us with your moon poem?
My moon poem. All right. This is Full Moon Wishes. Mary Bell sat in the cool green grass at the edge of the river, just below the old church steeple, where the evening bells played as the sun waved good evening to the moon. Monochrome movies played in Mary Bell's head, days of talking and dancing, giggling while kissing, before the rod, bleeding rock, siren, the titanium plates and screws, before dreams or burdens. Tonight, Mary Bell wished upon a falling star, for a moment of romance, a surge of lust, to taste the sweetness of honey on her lips. The river shimmered a pale pearl essence, weaving across a crisscross stitch around the rocks, flowers, and weeds, creating the tapestry of fantasia fantasy. The moon lay in the cobalt waters, and as opal pigments drip-dropped, she whispered, I granted you your desire. Mary Bell wept with gladness. Shh, Luna demanded. Love him now, for at dawn, all your memories will be gone. End poem.
You and that voice, Sweet.
Oh, no
good. Wishes. I love your title. Let me see. Monochrome movies played in Mary Bell's head. Days of talking and dancing, giggling while kissing, before the red bleeding rock, the sirens, the titanium plates and screws, before dreams were burdens. Before dreams were burdens. Man, dreams have pretty much become a burden for a lot, because they often are more like nightmares. And I'm just like, for some reason, really taken by that part. But I like here in the middle, too, for a moment of romance, a surge of lust, to taste the sweetness of honey on her lips. But stuff like that, like I said, with your voice, man, oh, man, the moon lay in the cobalt waters and the opal pigments drip-dropped. She whispered, I granted you your desire. I like your wording here. I like the concept. I like your descriptions. And like I said, time number three, as soon as you add your voice to your words, you just capture us. You could lull me into sleep with your voice. I guess until you got to the part where you were stabbing people or burying them behind the tree, and you didn't do that here. So that was pretty, you know, That was pretty. I was, you know, you never know. You look at a gorgeous picture, and you might get a vampire instead of a unicorn story or something. So, you always surprise me, sweet. But the visuals here are really gorgeous, and at the end there, for at dawn, all your memories will be gone, and just that is really a sad ending. I mean, but. On the other hand, depending upon those memories, it could be a really good thing. I'm sure there's a list I could come up with of things that I'd like to not remember at dawn. So this is very clever, my dear. Let me get you some comments. Mm-hmm. How about if I start with Dave Prophet, please?
Oh, thank you, thank you. You know, the third stanza there, tonight Mary Bell wished upon a falling star for a moment of romance, a surge of lust, to taste the sweetness of honey on her lips. And then you go down to the fifth stanza. It says, the moon lay in cobalt waters as opal pigments dropped. She whispered, I granted you your desire. This, don't mind my comparison here, but it kind of reminds me of me and the Dark Mother in a way, you know, granting wishes and showing special stuff like this. And you've always said that you really like the Dark Mother, and so I kind of made that connection. It's just all on me. It's not, you know, no one else has seen that, I'm sure. But I really like this, Pam. It was really excellent. It was beautifully worded. The storyline was great. It pulls the reader right in. It's just like you're standing on a bridge there observing the whole scene, you know, as a spectator. And to me, that's always a good sign of a good poetess. And then, of course, like Deborah said, that voice of yours is just knocks me out every time I hear you read something. You could read a grocery list to me and it'd sound good, you know. So I have to say well done.
You're welcome. Thank you. I appreciate it.
No. Lady A, would you like to comment for Sweet?
Yes, I thought this was lovely. I agree with you about it not being somebody's body ripped apart and pus everywhere. So I was you've written quite a few poems that are quite beautiful in and not dark like that. But I love this from the, you can see at the edge of the river where the evening bells played. You know, you talk about days of dancing and talking and kissing, the innocence I read from that. And I really liked how you wished, Mary Bell wished upon that star. And then her wish was granted. And I love the fantasy of it, the weaving crisscross stitch across the rocks, flowers, and weed, creating a tapestry of fantasia fantasy. It's all very vivid that in that particular verse, you could really see the colors and the shimmering on the water. And I thought that Luna demanded, love him now, for at dawn, all your memories will be gone. And that was a very interesting way to end that. I kind of want to digest it a little bit more because it gives food for thought. Well, will she not be there tomorrow? Sort of a Cinderella type of effect that, you know, enjoy it now because at the strike of 12, it's all over. I thought it was a really lovely job that you did.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Awesome comment. And AP, will you comment for Sweet?
Yeah, I really liked this Sweet. I thought it told a story, and it told it in a way that that left you thinking as it was told, and it used words that were unusually put together. I love the word shh in a poem. I don't think I've ever seen it before, and just was really cute because it was a word that actually sort of led you to think about a conversation more, and so. I liked the piece a lot, actually, this one. Really, really well done.
Thank you.
Great comment. And sweet, are you heading out now, doll?
Yeah, unfortunately, I do have to head out. I'm getting up very early to head back
up. Well, safe journey in the morning.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. Thank you for letting me stay and barge into your life and barge out.
I'll talk to you at your celebration. I'm sorry. I didn't know you weren't. I'm sorry.
That's okay. You're fine. Just want to say thanks for letting me barge in and barge out lately. It's been rough, but I always need you guys very much, so I appreciate it.
Well, I'd rather have you barge in than not coming at all, so... barge away.
All right.
Talk to you soon.
I'll talk to you soon. Bye.
Right. Thank you. Now, AP, before you read, I have a question. Tell me about the two books you put on the board. What are they from?
Well, I was going to tell you about them. Yes, the first photo is a rotating Earth that was actually spinning above the Olympic Stadium in Tokyo, and it was formed of 2,000 drones. Second image with the Genesis below had 3,281 drones forming that image of the Genesis car in China. And so I thought about that, and I thought about the image you gave me, Deb, and I'm quite excited because I am preempting a brand new business that's going to be in the United States, I would say, in less than 3 years' time, and there'll be a number of businesses in it. Sadly, my business, Celestial Skies, won't be there, but I'm just going to tell you a little brief about what's going to happen. So this is Celestial Skies. This is really going to happen, and it goes a little bit like this. Here at Celestial Skies, catch all your world sorted, from a crimson moon disguise through to an ellipse reported. Have a Star Wars fan? We're expert at all satellites, ready for the celebratory scan. To memories of Tatooine nights. You need falling light fire or a smile for an anniversary? We have the bodies up for hire, for the everyday or the merry. Indeed, for Christmas Eve, we do a special with a sleigh. Don't delay as reindeer weave their way into your special day. Our technology is drones, made with lithium or titanium, reliable unless storm shown. Note, we can organise stadium. So catch Amber and Opal. Would book early for your surprise. A comet free, sweeping and noble. To new orders by Celestial Skies. In poem.
Well, how cool is that? You know, wow. Okay, for one thing, I've actually seen some of those drones in action, you know, on like a YouTube video type of thing. And they're just amazing. Mm. They can be done. I didn't
incredible.
Know you were dabbling there. That must be fun. Wow. And then the wording with stuff like, indeed, for Christmas Eve, we do a special with a sleigh. Don't delay as reindeers weave their way into your special day. It's like a whimsical little advertisement per stanza, which is really cool. And you might even want to use this in there. Like pour your slogan or something with the flow and everything, because it's cool and it brings different visuals. Like you need falling light fire or a smile for an anniversary, we have the bodies up for hire, for the everyday or the merry. And it actually made me giggle a little bit because I thought, okay, that could go so many ways, just being a smarty pants there. And then at the end, so catch Amber and Opal, put book early for your surprise, a comet-free sweeping and noble to new orders by Celestial Skies. Now, is that Celestial Skies going to stick?
Well, I just sort of thought that would be a decent name for a sort of a company that was doing sort of, you know, imagery of moons and satellites and sleighs and other stuff in the skies with drones. So I
think it's an awesome name. That's why I was asking if you were going to hold on to it because, you know.
I'm not sure. Yeah. But I love the idea. I think the whole idea is just fantastic. I mean, and then I can see councils charging these companies to actually put the things up in the sky. I mean, the whole thing, I just started getting... you know, pulled away by it. But anyway, there you go.
Yeah, I can tell that you're enthused over it. That's pretty old. And I like that you pulled it from the photo, too, because in this one, you know, that's exactly what he's doing. He's got them in, he's running around in the back of his van, putting up different color moons, and, and you'll be doing it with the drones. So it was, I bet you that photo screamed at you when you clicked by it.
Yeah, no, I just, I've been fascinated by the Earth image when the Olympics with the drones, putting it together for the last few days, and then I started looking at what we can do now with drones, and it's really quite incredible what we can do. And so I just sort of think, you know, I'd pay good money to have the Star Wars Tatooine 3 moons sitting in the sky for me. I mean, I'm there. You know, I don't care what I pay. You know, you want to put a Millennium Falcon going through the sky? I'm there every day. I'm paying big money for that, you know.
Well, there you go. You might as well get to see it and make some money at the same time, right?
Yeah. Exactly right.
Awesome. Well, let me go to another space fan for the first comment. Dave Prophet, what do you think?
Oh, I like this. You know, the technology that's involved in drones nowadays is just next to, I don't know, miracle-like. You know, the power of these small brushless motors that they have in these things nowadays, and these lithium batteries and stuff that power the things, they make possible a lot of things that were completely out of the question even 5 years ago, you know. And this technology just grows in leaps and bounds. It's almost exponential by the day. And you know, I follow this. These model planes and stuff like this, and this drone technology on YouTube, and it's fascinating, and I really like the way you put all this into this poem here, AP, and I could see why you would be so enthused about it. You know, I know I would be if it was you know, me trying to develop this. It's a really interesting poem. You nailed the prompt dead on the money. And I think you did a hell of a job on it, and I really like this. It made me feel good when you read it.
Oh, cool. Thanks, Dave. Thank you.
Yeah.
Awesome comment, Dave Prophet. And how about you, Lars? What did you think?
I think it was a wonderful poem and eye-opening, as always. Thank or curse the electrical engineers, but the drone force is inevitable.
Yep. I agree. Lars, thank you.
And how about if we get one from Lady A as well?
I thought this was very, let me just, I want to bring it up again. I switched pages again, so hang on a second. I thought it was very clever. I love the idea of you having this truckload of moons and placing them in the sky as ordered by your customers, so to speak. And I thought it was really you could visualize that just by the picture with you saying the here at Celestial Skies, catch all your words. Worlds sorted, and I thought that was brilliant that you did it like that, and you touched on Christmas. We do special with a sleigh, and we talked about technology and the drones again, the lithium, titanium. But it was catchy in the sense that, you know, it was a sales pitch. And I thought that was really clever. You know, book early for your surprise, a comet free sweeping and noble to new orders by Celestial Skies. I thought it was very cleverly written.
Thank you, Lydia. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Awesome comments and awesome poem. I assume that you are going to go find something to eat for lunch now.
I am. Having written my sales pitch for a new business, I'm out of here, Deb. So, but I am absolutely convinced. I'm absolutely convinced that you'll have this in the U.S. in 3 or 4 years. You'll be able to go to a place, get your moon up there or get your sleigh up there in the sky, and you'll be able to see it. I really, I'm absolutely convinced that's going to happen. So, if you
might be wrong.
And I could be wrong.
I don't think
but
so.
I'm more often, but I'm more often right. Anyway, that's all I've got. So with that, I'm disappearing.
Appreciate it. Enjoy the rest of your
thanks,
day.
Deb.
I'm glad you called. Love
no,
your
thanks
respect.
For the problem. Okay, still soon. Okay, cheers. Bye.
Bye. Okay, now, here's where we're at, guys. I'm going to put Kay's recording on, and then after that, it'll be Dave, then Stephen, then Kay. So if you guys would click on Kay's poem, I will push play. Do you see it?
Yeah.
Here we go.
Leaving behind the pictures of Insult the Soul by Kay. Order the music of the lady in a dance of worlds, clothed in night. Individuality of taste is a mitigated femininity of sculpture. Skin deep in the catch of a smile, soul in with haste. Silence the hangover of rooms, fireplace, and the dust's foundations. Her fire singes the winter upon bones and sepsis pages, void of sepia. Light baskets kamikaze aerobics of an unbalanced canoe. Lithium torches wave, words cut too deep. Running exchanges, moon rocks confers to topiary. Martyr embracing the gallows. Glassy-eyed Keenan bangled the ballet. Tiptoed through an eggshell daze. Her adult red shoes kicked in barefoot bliss. Bright and breezy, transports a child under a new moon of self. And poem.
Wow, great brevity there. I like, where is it, towards the middle? Light baskets, that kamikaze aerobics of an unbalanced canoe. Lithium torches wave, words cut deep. Running exchanges, moon rocks, confers to topiary. Yeah, there's something about the lithium torches wave and words cut too deep. Just those four words, words cut too deep, is a really, really powerful notation because it's true. And sometimes, in my opinion, those words cut way deeper than a knife, and the scars are more pronounced as well. And then towards the end, tiptoed through the eggshell days. Nothing's worse than those eggshell days where you don't feel like you can do anything right and you can't say anything. And if you breathe, somebody's going to get mad at you. That's what I call an eggshell day. It's like, you know, ouch, through the whole day. And then to close it out, bright and breezy transports the child under a new moon of self. Of self, I really, really like this. It's a very powerful brevity, and the title "Leaving Behind the Pictures That Insult the Soul," and there again, it's those words that cut deep. It's the way somebody treats you. What is that quote? People don't always remember what you said or what you did, but they'll always remember how you made them feel. That is an insult down to the soul, and it's true. I mean, you might, mm-hmm. but you don't forget, and forgiving doesn't make it hurt any less, you know? So I think this is a really, really powerful brevity. And what do you think, Dave?
You asked me, Deb?
Yes, sir.
Deb? Oh, okay, I'm sorry. I didn't know if I heard you correctly. Oh, this was really nice. I really like this. here again, we have Kay putting together words that I would never have thought of, and I really like this one. Light baskets, the kamikaze aerobics of an unbalanced canoe. We all know how easy it is to flip a canoe over. At least I do. And this really sets that whole stanza up for that. You know, words cut too deep. They sure do. You know, we all know people that have. My mother used to say that if somebody was used words, you know, that were insulting or something, she always said that they had a sharp tongue, and that's really true. It really is. Martyr embracing the gallows. That's a strange one, but I like it. You know. Glassy-eyed teening, bangled the ballet, tiptoed through an eggshell daze. God, haven't we all had eggshell daze? Jesus, I hate those things. But anymore, I just got to the point where I step on the eggshells and people don't like them. I just tell them to go to hell. But anyway, this was really, really cool. I thought Kay did a brilliant job on it, as she always does. So anyway, that's my thoughts on it.
Excellent comment, and we had quite a few of the calls drop, and I'm not sure where Hatter went or whether he's going to call back. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to put yours on the board, Dave, and we'll just keep on keeping on. So if you
okay.
open for it, that'll be awesome.
Okay, I will. Let's see here. Hold on a minute here. Let me get out of here. Okay. Hold on. I'm coming. There we go. All right. This woman in this picture, she looked like a Native American to me. And so I'd never written anything about Native Americans. I should have a long time ago, but I haven't. And this word here, it looks like it's Muha. I looked up the pronunciation on that, and as near as I can figure out, it's not pronounced. The U is not pronounced that way. It's. I think they said it was Muha. I think that's the way it's pronounced. I'm not sure. I don't know how to speak Paiute, so I don't know. But anyway, the poem goes like this: Paiute sorceress queen, her mane of pitch blend shotgunned with quicksilver. Muha sends her silver fingers. Runs her beams through our spellcaster's obsidian hair, Native American magic, elemental in its light, pulling nightshade over a dying sun, bleeding in its crimson goodbyes, crying amber tears sinking into seas of vanishing hues. The evening curtain falls, Paiute's queen's smile. She lifts her Muha from her bed into the skies of lithium and red tails. Your light washes away those bites time has stolen from me in its relentless pursuit of tomorrows to dance away from all those yesterdays. Rid me of crow's feet, my precious moon. I live only for thee. As the new moon rose, opal tears flow from the Paiute queen as once again Muha blows away the sands of time from her nightshade queen as she welcomes the night's blanket, soft and gentle comforter she pulls over the land. Such a picture only gods could paint, for I was witness to this spectacle granted to me by my own queen, the dark mother, her darkly transparent hand of the universe upon my shoulder. Is this not beautiful, David? She whispered in my ear in such a gentle solar wind, for I would not grant any other human the privilege of this magic, my very own tender of the moon. The dark mother's tears escaped her hydrogen alpha eyes in the purest of silvers. She was overtaken with the scene. Hold me, my man. She was shaking. Her tears I did catch. They tasted of honey, gunpowder, and cotton candy. I had my arms around the queen of the universe. She wept. The creation of her very own beauty, this tender of the moon, her Paiute queen. No one else's magic could do this. I love you, my queen, for showing me your heart and soul. Do I have a heart and soul, David? Am I really human sometimes? You are, my queen, more than any woman I know. And they kissed her as the moon rose high.
Well, you know, I don't know what I would have did if you didn't put the gunpowder and cotton candy in there, David. I'm getting kind of used to it. It's just like with Hatter with his trademark, cadence. You have your trademark phrases and characteristics, and if the Dark Mother's in a poem and the cotton candy and gunpowder isn't, I start to worry. But let me see, which one can I pick? Such a picture only God could paint, for I was witness to this spectacle granted to me, to my own queen, the dark mother, her darkly transparent hand of the universe upon my shoulder. I love that. She asks you, is this not beautiful, David? She whispered in my ear in such a gentle solar wind. I love that. Whispered in my ear in such a gentle solar wind. There's a beautifulness to that. And towards the end, the creation of her very own beauty, this tender of the moon. It's just your admiration for this character knows no bounds. You take her all over the world. You've been on so many adventures with her that, like, I really expect to turn on the TV and see the Dark Mother movie and for her to smell like cotton candy and gunpowder and say, you know, I knew him when. Because you can really spin stories around this character. I mean.
Thanks.
It's the detail and depth that you put into it is really, really awesome.
Thank you, Deb. Thank you very much.
My pleasure. And, like I said, we're dropping like flies. So I'm just going to keep on keeping on. And let me see here. I'm going to grab Stephen's recording and put that on the board. Is that how I put it? Let me see. I can't remember. Then Stephen, then okay, so here is Stephen's. And if you guys click on that, and just trying to see too here. Let me look. Yeah, so, David, I hope you're planning on hanging out because I'm going to need your male voice to read a poem or two for me. And Lady A,
yeah.
I hope you can stay. There's a couple that need to be read. In the meantime, I'm going to push play for Stephen. So do you guys see the link, or did I forget to push play? I mean,
yeah.
Stand. There it is. Cool. Okay, here we go.
This is called Tolkien's Bear Did Break the Moon, But Monday Will Be Coming Soon, by Stephen76. Up north, above the broken candy-striped pole, picture Grand Ivory Kodiak caught up in dance, leapt into ballet sauté under the light of the pearl moon. In the night so dark and deep, clumsiness and knees did creep, a twist and turn to dodge satellite, lunar sphere was broken flight. Pieces snowing from the sky into the garden behind the cliff house. Frozen gardener said with a smile, catch those parts quick, like a mouse. Cobbler in red suit began to totter and shake, said, polar bear, you anger me. The snowman caretaker said, I'll fix it up, you'll see. He sprinkled orts onto the snow, then said with a grin and wave, water these with northern lights. There'll be a new moon on Monday. End poem.
Wow. I'm trying to figure out what it is that I was picking up in his voice there as he was reading. I like what he did with this. Up above the broken candy-striped pole, picture Grand Ivory Kodiak caught up in the dance, leapt into ballet saute under the light of the pearl moon. Down further, pieces snowing from the sky into the garden behind the cliff house. Frozen gardener said with a smile, catch those parts quick, like a mouse. There's like a whimsicalness to it, which there is to the photo as well, because for those who can't see, it's a shot, and it's obviously either the moon rising, and he's got a big water what do you call that, a water canteen? A water...
Water.
Spring?
Watering can.
A watering can.
That's what I always told him. Yeah.
And he's
yeah.
got the watering can tipped as if he was sprinkling the moon. So I think you did a really good job with this. But there's something in the night so dark and deep, clumsiness in knees did creep, a twist and turn to dodge satellite. Lunar sphere was broke in flight. It's like okay, that's the emotion. There was a sadness in his voice when he read. And I guess, you know, it's broken, but there'll be a new moon on Monday. So I really love how he ended it as well. Fantastic. Thank you, Stephen. And David, will you comment on Stephen, please?
Yeah. I like the, he sprinkled orts onto the snow, then said with a grin and a wave, water these with northern lights. There'll be a new moon on Monday. I like that last stanza very well. Kind of turns the poem around, like you said, Deb. This is a very interesting poem. I never thought anything, you know, I wouldn't have thought of turning this into almost like I don't want to call it a nursery rhyme, but I don't know, it is in a way. I would have never thought of making the moon that way, although I'm sure lots of poetry is written that way. But in the night so dark and deep, clumsiness in knees did creep, a twist and a turn to dodge satellite, lunar spear was broken in flight. That's cool. I liked every stanza in this poem. There's not one that's any better than the other one, as far as I'm concerned. Tolkien's bear did break the moon. That's interesting. I never knew Tolkien had a bear, but that's cool. Anyhow, this is really interesting. I like the poem very much.
Great comment. And he put on the board that it was inspired by J.R.R. Tolkien's The Letters from Father Christmas. So it fits really well.
Oh.
But like I said, I love how he turned it all around at the end with there'll be a new moon on Monday. So yeah, it's a full circle, and it's a 10. He's really racking them bad boys up there. 168 tens. Go Stephen. Thank you.
Yeah,
I know, right? And I happen to know that he has to get up really really early, so he's probably laying there thinking he's going to fall asleep, listening to poetry. Thank you, Stephen, for the poem. Very much appreciate it. And Lady A, if you would say something about that poem while I grab yours and then read for us, please.
Okay. I thought that that it was very whimsical and fairy tale-ish. Which I could use fantasy better than fairy tale-ish, I guess. But I thought it was a great piece, and he always delivers something special, and this is no exception. He does a great job with storytelling, and I very much like what he writes. So it was a great. It was a great piece.
Awesome comment. And your poem is on the board, so you can dazzle us now, too.
Okay. I had a hard time picking which one I really wanted of your pictures because they were all so beautiful, and you could write to any of them. But I did ultimately pick this one. And it's called Full Moon. Earthly decades, interminable, sorry, their songs burn. I got to start over, sorry. Earthly decades, interminable, their song burns crimson eternal. Beyond death's veil, it is but a blink. She is pushed to the brink. Luna has hidden them. Secrets held ad infinitum. Whispers heard in sync with loons. 364 full red or amber moons. Each one brings her closer, nearer. She dances for her love above. She pulls Luna from the night sky, kisses her face. She cries. Moon's mystery, light in darkness, comforts in the darkest dark. Moon understands emotions. Her feminine fire inspires strength. Courage sustains during all the rains as tides wave, waves ebb and flow. She pulls Luna from the sky, kisses her face. She cries. Luna has hidden them, secrets held ad infinitum. Opal, pearl, glow, a satellite smile upon the world. End poem.
Love the ending. Wow. A satellite smile. She pulls Luna from night sky, kisses her face, she cries. Luna has hidden them, secrets held. Added Phineum, really, really awesome. Back further, whispers heard in sync with loons, 364 full moons, each one brighter, her closer, each one brings her closer, nearer her love from above. She pulls Luna from night sky, kisses her face, and she cries. Man, there's so many different emotions all mixed together. There's a beautiful thought to pull in over for the kiss, but then she cries, so it's sad. So many different things, even in just that one stanza. And you've got like, what, 3, 6, 11 lines, and there's just so many different emotions that come through it. I really love where you took this, but I'm stuck on the kisses her face and she cries. Well, well, well.
Thank you very much.
Very, very awesome. And Dave, what did you think?
Oh, this was beautiful. I like the first stanza pretty well. Earthly decades, interminable, their song burns crimson, eternal, beyond death's veil. It's but a blink. She is pushed to the brink. Luna has hidden them, secrets held ad infinitum. I just think that's really a beautiful opening stanza for this poem. The whole storyline is gorgeous. You know, it's very, very loving and atmospheric, ethereal. You know, it's really a nice piece of work here, Lady A. I think you did really well with it.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Awesome comment. And now I am going to read for Heavenly Angel. So if you guys click on that, I will read. Tell me when you can. Okay.
It's up.
This poem. Cool. Thank you. This is called Destined to Be by Heavenly Angel. And here we go. The constellations were all aligned, the Milky Way glowing in waves of neon colors to leave one breathless. Satellites were orbiting about the world. Yes, everything was picture perfect the night we finally became one. I could hardly catch my breath as we spoke sacred vows, voice quivering and hands shaking. I gazed into your honeyed amber eyes as you placed the pearl and opal ring upon my finger. For so long, I dreamt of this moment in the very core of my being. You alone, you are my moon and stars, the fire that lights my torch of light, my smile. Let us dance upon silver-covered pathway to love's eternity, enchanted by our destiny. Beautiful. She always captures that tender romance in such a beautiful way. From the get-go, the visuals, the constellations were all aligned, the Milky Way glowing in waves of neon colors. I mean, the images right there are just outstanding. And I really like in the middle, I could hardly catch my breath as we spoke sacred vows. Awesome. Thank you so much. Angel, it's always a pleasure to read for you. Another great poem, and I see that it is also an award winner, so congratulations on that award. Brilliant work. One of our queens of romance here. Lady A, what's up?
Yeah, I agree. I think she has a terrific talent for love poems, and I think she used the word bank in a really beautiful way as well. It just meshed so wonderfully, and I could hardly catch my breath as we spoke sacred vows. Just she's very romantic at all the time, and she, you can't really tell that there was a word bank with the way she's written this. And I love that last, let us dance upon silver covered pathway to love's eternity enchanted by our destiny. Just a beautiful poem.
Awesome comment. And Dave, will you comment for Angel and then read the next poem for me?
Sure. Yeah, this was this is typical Angel, isn't it? I mean, it's just she's the princess of romance, I guess you could say. I like the opening stanza. The constellations were all aligned, the Milky Way glowing in waves of neon colors. To leave one breathless, satellites were orbiting about the world. Yes, everything was picture perfect the night we finally became one. I've done a lot of stellar photography, and when you stand out there in an area that I shoot in, and you look up into the sky, you can see the Milky Way without even trying to imagine it. And it is glowing. You see these satellites shooting by, you know, and so she really captured that. I mean, if that doesn't make you feel a little bit romantic, it should at least make you humble. And she captured that one really good. I can hardly catch my breath as we spoke sacred vows. You know, I know what that feels like. You know, it's only happened to me a couple of times in my life. But, you know, when you're really in love with somebody and you know that they're in love with you, they feel the same way, and you start talking about it and expressing it, it almost takes your breath away from you. And I thought this was a way, really well worded. The whole poem's that way, and I liked it very much.
Awesome comment. Thank you. And Budos is on the board. If you would read that one, please.
Okay. All right. This one's called Rapture, and it's by Budo. And it goes like this. Fireflies dance cosmic waves. Neon satellite blares horn. Circumstance of worldly saves. Midnight's air, pandemic shorn. Opal moon reflects its light upon maize and crop beneath. Ether tune transgress delight. Huddled days rescind the beast. Catch the lizard in its throes. Honey crimson pearl interred. Move forward, leaf undertow. Come salvation, torch be heard. Wow. That's pretty heavy duty. Has a song-like quality to it, I think. But Budo tends to write that way. it's a really nice statement about the picture prompt too.
Totally agree. Great read too. Thank you for that. And I love
yeah,
how
welcome.
He starts it off right from the get-go. Fireflies dance. Cosmic waves, neon satellites, blare, swarms. I think that just those two lines, especially those fireflies dancing, is absolutely
yeah.
gorgeous. And then the colors where the opal moon reflects light. And then towards the end, honeyed crimson pearl entered. Move forward, Lilith undertow. Come, salvation, torch, be heard. The wording is really outstanding.
Yeah.
And it's just three stanzas, but he packed so much in them. So yeah, another great poem. And I think, you know what it is? We're all getting so used to hearing him sing now that we are, even if we are just reading him, we're sort of hearing him sing it in our head, which is really cool. I don't want him to know that we're hearing him sing them anyway in our heads, because then he'll stop making us the beautiful songs that he made. So, but yeah, it came out really great. And thank you again for reading that. Lady A,
You're welcome.
You comment for Budo and then read Iris for me?
Yeah, Budo, you know, he's a songwriter and he is great at doing, writing the music for things. But this was, I think, too, when it's called Rapture, if you have a spiritual background in Christianity, then you see, this is what I see, and he mentions salvation in the end. Move forward, least undertow, come salvation, torch be heard. Talks about being raptured, being carried up into the beyond, like it says in the book of Revelation. He's very subtle about it, but that's what I get out of it. Fireflies dance, cosmic waves, neon satellite blares horn, circumstances of worldly saves, midnight's air, pandemic shorn. Like, I can see that just by knowing, if you know anything about the book of Revelation, you can see some of this in there. And, transgress, delight, huddle days, rescind the beast. The beast is referring, of course, to the Antichrist. That's what I get out of it. I would like to have a conversation with Budo. I'm sure that this is, very, very subtly done, but that's what I see in this piece is at the end times. He mentions the pandemic. He mentions, the beast. It's very, a very good write, and I'm quite impressed, actually, with what he's done with the word bank. And to knit this into this wonderful brevity of the end of the world, really. So, Budo, bail me out and tell me if I'm right or wrong, because I'm pretty sure that's what you were talking about. But I'd be interested to talk to him just about that poem, because it's really quite interesting, I find. Very interesting.
And before you read Iris for me, just hold 1 second, and let's say hi to Crystal Hope. Hey, little sis.
Hi.
Hey, Chrissy.
Got you. Hey,
Chris. Long time no see.
I know. I'm always thrilled when you're able to call. Did you wind up having off today, or are you just coming in after work?
Actually, I have a new job, so I actually get off at 6 o'clock every day now. I'm trying to get used to it. So I'm able to call on podcasts. A lot of times I come home and I'm still just getting used to getting up earlier because I work nights and now I'm working morning and day shifts. So it's new for me. So
I get that. I was just saying to Stephen earlier, because he's working a different shift this week, and he had to move all his shows to an 8 p.m. start time, and I was saying that it's really hard on the body to swap shifts and then got to convince your body you got to go to sleep now because we got to get up at a different time. So it is an adjustment. But congratulations. I'm assuming that it's onward and upward for you, my dear. So glad to hear it. Thrilled you're here. And you're just in time to hear Lady A read for Iris.
Okay, this is the called As I Meet the Moon with You by Iris 3. I was an empty night sky whose void flooded with your liquid silver moonlight. When she skimmed the horizon, an opal heart whom I now clasp in my arms. We levitate upon indigo sirens of midnight reaching the pearl through our eyes. You, a smiling ivory fire orb. Me, a satellite bathed in the light of your love's touch, your love's torch. Lunar oceans greet us where we dwell in solitude, drinking from moon's rocky ice, pristine, untouched, the cold temperatures of moon's dark side, battled by the warmth of our ardor, growing for each other within the moon, for the moon. End poem. Oh, I love this.
Go ahead and comment.
I am putting it on my list, first of all. And I really loved this. It was written in the third person, I believe. And I love how it blended this love story and the star and the atmosphere and the moon and the oceans. Everything is, you know, the moon, you can't speak of the moon without speaking of the tides and the water, and drinking from the moon's rocky ice, pristine and untouched. It is virginal, this piece. The beauty of the love that's so, I'm lost for words really, because I like how it was opened up. I was an empty night sky whose void flooded with your liquid silver moonlight. Wow. The whole piece is just wonderfully romantic, unique. It was very unique. And I loved the love story of the moon and the sky together, our ardor growing for each other within the moon, for the moon. Beautiful, beautiful poem, Iris. Loved it.
Awesome comment. Yeah, and a great read for her as well. I agree, too. I mean, it's just the imagery. It's breathtaking, the feel. Her choices with the wording, you know, you just totally forget that there was even the word bank to pick from, with stuff like when she skimmed the horizon, an opal heart whom I now clasp in my arms. Wow, I love that.
That was a great line, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's one of the ones you start picking apart the lines to say how wonderful they are, and then you realize you might as well just push the save button, because you could just copy and paste the whole poem into the comment line and say, you know, gorgeous work. So, and she is contributing a lot, and I'm thrilled to see. And she's an excellent poet. And I'm looking, like, this poem already has a silver medal, a bronze medal, an honorable mention award. I mean, wow, it's on a bunch of lists. I mean, it's an excellent. Excellent piece. What did you think, Dave?
Yeah, I really liked this too. I thought it was beautiful. I like the part here where it says, lunar oceans greet us where we dwell in solitude, drinking from the moon's rocky ice, pristine, untouched. That's a unique, I would never have thought of drinking from the moon, but it's pure, it's pristine. It's not all fouled up with footprints, well, a few footprints of man, anyway. She says lunar oceans here. A lot of the real estate on the moon, you know, like the Sea of Tranquility and this one called Mare Imbrium, and some of those locations are Latin words for the seas and oceans and that sort of thing. I thought that was interesting, and I thought it was well suited for this poem. It's really... Well, it's really captivating to me anyway. I thought it was really well done. I can understand why it's why it's got all of those accolades tacked to it as well. So, beautiful poem.
Awesome comment. And Chris and Hope, will you comment and then read yours for us?
Yeah, I also was like Lady A and put it on one of my lists because I don't know what it is about this. It's just something like elegant about it, but yet it also has like this like elegant romance and then some type of almost like a fantasy to it.
Yeah.
I love to talk about how it started like with the empty night sky and everything and then going into like the lunar oceans, greet us. As we dwell in solitude, drinking the moon's rocky ice, pristine untouched. I love that because it just, it's that whole thing I was just saying about the elegance and stuff, but yet there's like this purity to it too. It seems like you actually can see the growth between the lovers under the moonlight. And there's something just absolutely beautiful about that. But yeah, this is a really, really good piece.
Awesome comment. Thank you so much. And if you see yours, it's your turn to dazzle us.
Okay. All right, mine is called Moonlight Moment. I carried your candle with mine, like a honey glow sunset. Amber strands beckoned on your smile, brightening the thistle of brunette. In the darkest moments, your opal moonlight shone like a pearl. Your sapphire eyes sparkled, and I felt like the luckiest girl. Our eyelids blink and time passes by. I cherish the glimmer in your eye. Moonlight mirrors our blissful chapters as picture frame memories capture. Your lips are like a flickered torch as I kiss you passionately on my porch. Car lights glisten on the sliding door and I miss you even more. And home.
Aww. Okay. Now, for one, for a minute there, I was stuck on the porch with her. Where did the porch go? Hold on. Okay. Your lips are like the flickered torch as I kiss you passionately on my porch. I was like, I just love the beauty and tender romance of that kiss on the porch, the sweetness. And then car lights glisten on the sliding door, and I miss you even more. And I'm like, oh, I think you had a bunch of emotions in here. You had me swooning from the tenderness of the kiss. You had me picturing everything around you because your imagery was really awesome. But then you really, really got me. Like, you know, I could just picture you standing there and watching the car lights move away and the sadness. And the missing is, you know, I mean, he hasn't even made it out of the driveway yet, and you're already missing him even more. And I think that's, like, so awesome. A lot of emotion in this one for 95 words. Brilliant work. And I love the title, Moonlight Moments. Gorgeous piece, Crystal. Really great
Thank
job.
Thank you, Deb.
Lady A, what did you think?
Well, I just loved it. I thought it was beautiful. I love... almost, well, every line, but I think you put this together in such a wonderful way. I love in particular the last three couplets, Moonlight Mirrors Are Blissful Chapters, as picture frames memories capture. Just the wording, the construction of that line, it was very, the rhyming of it, and just, I thought that was brilliant. And I love the next two couplets. Your lips are like a flickered torch as I kiss you passionately on my porch. Car lights glisten on the sliding door, and I miss you even more. Like, that, it's a beautiful piece. A beautiful piece that comes from a heart that is in love. And it's just beautiful.
Thank you, Lady.
You're welcome.
Awesome. Awesome comment. And here's where we stand. David, I would like you to comment for Crystal and then Reed for Wayne, and then just have two recordings.
Okay, well, this lady here in Chrissy's poem is definitely moonstruck. and the first stanza starts it out. She's setting up the how she feels in her heart about what's going on at the present. Amber strands beckon on your smile, brightening the thistle of brunette. This lady looks like she's a brunette, so that fits. In the darkest moments, your opal moonlight shone like pearl. Your sapphire eyes sparkled, and I felt the luckiest girl. Wow, that's pretty cool. And then right down here, the one that this second to last stand that everybody's been talking about, it says, as I kiss you passionately on my porch. That sort of grounds us out and shows us that this is not really ordinary, but it's a normal, very down to earth feeling that this woman has for this person, and I thought that was really well utilized in this poem. I mean, that's what I took away from it anyway. So, well done, Chrissy.
Thanks, Ed. Awesome comment.
You're welcome.
And right before you read for Wayne, Hatter's back. Hey, Hatter.
Hey, sorry.
That's all right. I'm glad you're back.
I'm going to say goodnight, Deb, okay? Sorry about that.
Okay. No, that's okay. Thanks for hanging out. I'm glad you were here, and I'll talk to you later.
Okay, thank you. Night, everyone.
Good night,
lady.
Night, lady.
And here's where we're at. I have the poem that Dave's going to read for Wayne, and then I have two recordings, and we're done for the night. So if you would read for Wayne, Dave, I'd appreciate it.
Okay, I will. This was called Lunar Repair. Gazed, amazed, everything nighttime crimson sky was a poisonous neon lithium lizard flying by. Ash moon wounded by forging weapons crave. Amethyst attacked from viper's radiate titanium wave, I'm sorry. My bubblegum brain shouting in saffron, blinking maze. Flighted, labeled lunar lands, welded butterscotch days. Two worlds together as pictured persimmon satellite fell. Assassination dart stabbed the moon's thistle thorax gel. Honey fire touched, flame smiled in terracotta teasing dance. As machinery, muscles, and elbow eraser used lance. Trinkets tossing and elbow caressing, dwelling repaired. And ignition locking in opal lightness, mirror moon shared. Slate-stained honeydew patches bordered bouquets bad. Dropping perfume thanks to pistachio parchment pad. Chrome command caressed as amber spear kissed siren sky. Shadowed whiskey crowd weep as saxophones emit sigh. Wow. that was interesting.
Wayne's
always good for that, that's for sure. Yeah, for sure. Yep. I had to concentrate when I read it. Thank you.
Oh, you did great. Yeah, you did great. And I like the title Lunar Repair because that sort of, he does look like he's like getting it into the right position and maybe fixing the light, sort of changing the light bulb kind of thing. And I like in the second stanza, my bubblegum brain shouting in saffron blinking maze. My bubblegum brain, I don't know why, that just cracked me up. Pop, you know, you blow the bubble and pop. So like, you know. And on the third stanza, honey fire torch flame smiled in terracotta teasing dance. The images there are really gorgeous. The teasing dance. And then towards the end, the last two lines, chrome command caressed as amber spear kissed siren sky. Shadowed whiskey crowd weep as saxophone emits sigh. He's got sights and sounds to tickle the senses, and between that and the clever idea of the lunar repair, And on top of that, I'm noting on the side that it is a pending pick. So congratulations on that pending pick. Woo-hoo! Excellent piece. And we missed you, Wayne, but I appreciate the poem. And Dave, you did a great read. Did you want to comment, Wayne?
Yeah, I really like this. I like the way Wayne writes. He always brings a smile to my face no matter what he's doing. We all know how Wayne sounds when he reads. He's kind of like a 45 RPM record played on 78. Some of those people won't get this, but anyway, I thought it was really fun. Words he was using in here is interesting. I never thought about anybody fixing the moon, you know, other than maybe the Dark Mother, but that was interesting, and he really addressed the prompt really well, too, I thought. So, well done, Wayne.
Awesome comment. How about you, Crystal?
Well, for one, I was going to point out it's very different for Wayne. Like, it has the rhyme in there and everything, but the wording just seems different, everything. But it did make me think that perhaps Wayne was trying to do it from, like, the builder's perspective and, like, using, like, a bit, like, a different type of wording or something. But I don't know. I do like that he also has a little bit of alliteration here and there, too, like the machinery muscles on the elbow eraser. And, the one I like is the terracotta teasing dance. I like how that sounded, too. I think it's an interesting concept. Like, I wouldn't have thought of that with the picture. Like, I don't really know what I really would have wrote to the picture, but I like that that's what he's thinking. Like, oh, let's just fix the moon. The moon needs fixing. I mean, I don't know if you can fix all the holes in the craters or anything, but you can try. But yeah, I think we did an excellent job.
Great comment. Awesome. Now, if you guys will click on Phil's poem, we have this one and one more. So do you see Phil?
There we go.
Here we go. And Phil is from, as they like to say, across the pond. So we've covered a lot of continents tonight. Here we go.
This is a poem by Phil the Poet called Pearl on a Silver Thread. I lasso the moon to shine upon this mound. This pearl on a silver thread I will gladly give to you. Make this night smile upon us like a dancing satellite, around unseen worlds of crimson and amber waves, to catch every second like a picture in my memory, replay our love under a neon light for all eternity, reminiscing on a special night that shone like an opal, a halo around two kissing figures shaken with desire. Your kiss tastes of honey, the nectar of love, leaves a burning fire deep within my lonely soul, set aglow by the torch of uncensored passion. Lie with me in this field of maize, mon chéri. We make the moon blush red as we roll around. Our skin glows as we clamp together like titanium, tongues licking, flicking in and out like hungry lizards, ending with you astride, screaming like a siren. Exhausted, we fall upon the lithium of crazed emotions. You take a thistle and burst the white balloon, letting the silver thread fall to the earth below. We walk away, hand in hand, under the sun's smiling face. End poem.
Wow, this is gorgeous. You really, really brought the romance tonight. Pearl on a Silver Thread. I like the title. But I like how we go through the journey to catch every second like a picture in my memory. What a beautiful thought, to catch every second like a picture in my memory. I love that line. And I mean, I could just start with it. Your kiss, taste of honey, and the nectar of love. It's like, oh, so romantic and beautiful. And by the time you get to the end where he's saying, let the silver thread fall to the earth below, we walk away hand in hand under the sun's smiling face. And it's just such a beautiful song and a romantic image. And like, you take that and you mix it with his gorgeous reading voice and his pronunciation, and it's just like, I think that he absolutely enchanted the reader in this poem. Gorgeous piece. Thank you so much, Phil. Wow. Crystal, what did you think?
Yeah, I don't know what it is. I guess people associate Moonlight with romance, which I can agree. I can be one of those people as well. But I do love a lot of this, though. Like, it's like what you were saying about the title, Pearl on a Silver Thread. It's beautiful. But I also say I'm probably going to take in the middle, where it says, kisses like honey, the nectar of love. These a burning fire deep in my lonely soul. Like, in that part, you can feel the passion. And then in the other part, it seems like there's a bit of, like, romance and sweetness in there. But I feel like Phil just, like, mixes, like, all of that together, kind of showing the connection between the couple and everything. But, yeah, this is absolutely beautiful, and I love, like, his description and everything. It's, like, just, like, kind of, like, a soft, passionate romance, I would definitely say.
Yeah, absolutely. Great comment. Okay, the last poem is on the board. If you guys would click on that and someone yell out that you see it, and then I will push play.
Yep. Yeah, I see it.
Okay, here we go.
The Run Every Melody by Roy. And like the stars of the night, I was shining in your life. But the storm of the earth killed the smile of bright and light. I walked to your doors in the neon moon of night. The girl dressed in red gives you a teasel that in the night of full moon you were being lured. She was a siren, the sky serpent, the picture of the morning sun. It was a rusted titanium with a box of amber she left in the long run. Your worlds of gold and steel shattered as the broken deeds. Nobody knew, nobody knew. And I was running in the rain with the pearl in the hand. You left me behind, there was a second me home. And like the stars of the night, I was shining in your life. But the storm of the earth killed the smile of bright and light. And I was running in the rain with the pearl in the hand. You left me behind, there was a sag in me wound.
You know, I really, really love when she sings her poetry. She's got a sweet voice. The Runaway Melody, what a cool title. And then, like her chorus, and like the stars of the night, I was shining in your life, but the storm of the hour killed the smile of bright and light. The storm of the hour killed the smile of bright and light. So sad there, thinking of the smiles being killed by the storm. But the images through here are awesome, with rusted titanium and the box of ambers she left in the long run. So sad. And you take the sadness and pain that's coming from there, but then you put it with her sweet voice, and it's like, the contrast is very, very cool, but the end really gets me. And I was running in the rain with the pearl in my hand. You leave me behind. there was no second me. And I was just like, oh, way to leave me wanting to cry. Like there was no leaving me behind. Leaving me behind is such a sad feeling. But I can't emphasize enough. Momo, it's so amazing the way you sing your poetry and very, very appreciate it. Hatter, what did you think? Unmute.
Yeah, I'm sorry, unmuted. Yeah, I like the let me go back. I was running in the rain with the pearl in my hat. Great little hook line. And then at the beginning, and like the stars of the night with the shining in your life, with the storm of the hour, till the smile, the brightened light. Kitschy, it's kitschy.
Awesome comment. And Crystal, what did you think?
I mean, I just put a big old smile on my face when I just started hearing her sing it. I always love when people do that. They do sing their poetry and stuff. But yeah, it just does, like, to me, does speak of, like, a lot of sadness. But also, there's also, like, this glimmer of light in it, too. So it kind of makes me think of, like, a bit like a shadow, like it brings darkness, but without the darkness, you have to have a little bit of light. But I think that what she did was just beautiful, and like a lot of these lines are just, they bring a lot of emotion, and I noticed that what she did a lot was bring a lot of emotion. But yeah, I do love that chorus too, that like the stars of the night, oh, shining in your light. That those lines just right there, just starting out right there, I really enjoyed those. But the whole poem is just beautiful.
Awesome comment. And Dave, that leaves the last comment for you.
Okay. Well, like Crystal said, I like the first two lines in the first stanza, and like the stars of the night, I was shining in your life. That's a really beautiful thing to say. To say to somebody that you love or think a lot of, you know, and then I kind of like the second stanza a lot too. I walk to your doors in the neon moon of night. That's very descriptive of, you know, a moonlit night, I think. The girl dressed in had kissed you as thistle dad, and the night of full moon you are being lured. She was a siren disguised serpent. That's kind of interesting on those last two lines. When she put that in there, kind of makes you go, kind of perks your imagination a little bit. But it was a beautiful poem. I don't know what it is about those ladies from India, but I think she's from India. Anyway, they sure have a beautiful voice in the way of reading. And she, when she sang this, I thought that was really pretty. I liked listening to her. So, really, really cool poem and presentation, too.
Great comment. Appreciate it, everyone. Okay, so for the moment, what I would like to tell you is that a reminder for A Poetic Slice of Life, they are doing all their shows at 8 p.m. this week. Now, they, as well as a team of voices, both have tomorrow off. But at A Poetic Slice on Wednesday at 8, they are doing Poetic Inklings and the Summer Breezes of July Shores. And that is, double check in. Yes, that is Thomas Kincaid. And Kay always picks beautiful art for those. Again, 8 p.m. this week. And on Thursday, also at 8 p.m., it is their Movement of Sound, and they're doing the Little River Band. And here at A Team of Voices, as I said, we're off tomorrow, but Wednesday night at 9 p.m., we have Open Poetry with Wolf. And Thursday night, special night, suite's going back to her 10 p.m. start time, and she's celebrating all things to do with the heart because it's the one-year anniversary of when she had her heart surgery already, and we're also thrilled that everything went well with her heart surgery and that we're here to celebrate a year later. So let's hang out with Sweet on her special day. And in the meantime, I want to say thank you to Hatter for always being there. And I want to say thank you to Dave Prophet and to Lars.
You're welcome.
And Lady A and Sweet Pea and AP and Crystal. And I want to thank Scott and Becky and Kay and Steven and Phil and Momo, also known as Roy KBMW, and Budo and Irish 3 and Wayne Gent. Amazing poetry, everyone. You never, ever cease to amaze me at all. I appreciate you all very much. And no one told you today, you're very special people, and your poetry is off the hook, and I feel honored to get to spend so much time with you all. And on that note, since we played New Moon on Monday when we came in, and we did not get to hear Hatter's amazing song that he wrote, we are going to leave by listening to The Words You Cannot Say, written by my big brother Hatter. Love and respect, everyone.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant, and I still loving you. I'm looking down.
Trying to run away, I'm watching broken.
welcome to
Thanks,
Adam. Thank you. Love and respect. Night, everyone.
Right. Have a good evening.